Joining us now, somebody that was, well, not only busy this year, but every year when it comes to carrying local sports. He writes for the Navarre Press and also carries UWF basketball, high school sports, and more. Brian Lester, kind enough to join us here each and every Wednesday. Brian, I hope you're having a blessed Christmas time, and hope you're getting ready for a good new year.
Hey, things are going pretty good. Just getting ready for 2022.
That's right. What is in store for 2022? I feel like we're like creeping in, like one of those movies, like real quiet, like just like, is anybody home? But yeah, it should be exciting. But I know it was a busy year, first off, for you guys in Navarre. Now, we sort of carry across the board, you know, from Perdido, I would say, to about Navarre is our area, and up through, you know, Jay and Northview, but mainly focus on the Pensacola area. But when it comes down to it, you guys, I mean, from state titles, historic playoff runs, really good year for the Raiders.
Yeah, you know, the girls' weightlifting team, you know, won their sixth state championship this year. They've kind of created themselves a dynasty there with what they do with weightlifting. And then the girls' basketball team going all the way to the Elite Eight, and the five football team going to the Final Four. Some track kids, you know, made it to state with Rachel Leggett, obviously familiar name in this area. she finished second in the high jump and was also part of that fly football team and basketball team. So, yeah, pretty good year. Kind of, you know, a little bit more down for the football team, you know, not their typical year, but they still had a winning season. So I guess at Navarre, you know, a down year means you still have a winning year. That's not too bad. But, yeah, it should be interesting now to see how 2022 plays out.
You know, Michael Carter was one of many good players. Dante Wright, you guys have had a number of really good running backs. And I remember when I used to call the games with Tommy over there for WFGX and on TV, we had a chance to do a number of your games. And I always said Jay Walls, you know, is one of those kind of guys that not only Navarre is lucky, but this area, because he's just well-versed as a head coach and knows what he's doing. And he runs a really tight ship, but a good program from top to bottom. And, you know, you see Michael Carter, he goes out there, he's a smaller guy. He goes out and he does well, but he splits time over it in North Carolina. You can see the impact when he left based on, yeah, they struggled this year on the offense. There wasn't that balance with Sam Howell. And now you look at what he does in the NFL. He comes back off the injury, and it's all about, you know, you've got Zach Wilson versus Trevor Lawrence, 1 versus 2, the big rookies. And he steals the show. He gets 16 carries for 118 yards and a win for the Jets. Just talk about how good he's doing, because, Brian, I know you've covered this guy, but I think he's exceeding even expectations from his closest friends. This guy's amazing what he's accomplished.
Yeah, for sure. You know, Michael Carter, I mean, I know a lot of people knocked his size coming out of school, going into the draft. And, you know, I felt like Michael was maybe picked a little bit later than I thought. You know, I thought he'd go second, third round, maybe, with as good as he is. But obviously teams overlooked him. The Jets have ended up with a steal, and for Michael to come off that injury, and, you know, he had a tough game, that first game back from the injury, but then this past weekend going off for, you know, over 100 yards for the first time in his career in the NFL, and, you know, doing it against Jacksonville, I mean, a big deal for Michael. And I think we're going to see more of that from him. And I saw a stat, he forced, you know, close to 50 missed tackles this season. He ranks right up there with the best in the NFL in that category. And just today, Pro Football Focus rated him the number one rookie, graded rookie as far as running backs go. So Michael's got a lot of potential. He's shown us glimpses of it this season, but he's going to do a whole lot more as he continues on in his career. But hey, heck of a first year for him so far. You know, close to 1,000 all-purpose yards, I think great things are ahead for Michael. I think we're going to look back on this draft and say, you know, Michael's one of those guys maybe teams overlooked, and he turned out to be a pretty good NFL player.
Brian, you know, and folks, you can follow him at BLester1993 on Twitter. Does a great job of posting things on from UWF athletics to high school sports, and really getting into some of the stuff that many people do not. Brian, I've used a lot of your information last year to keep up to date when the HSAA were deciding on a lot of the high school games, whether they were going to play or they were going to postpone them due to COVID. And I know the people in Bluntstown were a little different than the people in Miami. It might be the state of Florida, but they're like, let's play. And then those people down there are like, no, we're okay down here. It's a little different down here. Well, when it comes down to this, though, you wrote an article about, or talking about Division II and Division III playoffs when it comes March. you know, and what's going on right now? We're seeing a ton of cancellations and postponements all around right now, what's happening with Omicron and what we're seeing with the way it's spreading so rapidly. But what can we expect? Because we know the finances are just not there the same way that you might have in March Madness to get these tournaments in with billion-dollar deals with CBS Sports. Talk about what we might see, and at this point, I think it's too early to tell, but have you heard anything of what might be in store for some of these smaller divisions?
You know, I haven't seen them. Obviously, they haven't come out and like made like, you know, any official announcements of what might happen. You know, so far it seems like, you know, the tournaments will happen as expected, but it just concerns me a little bit more about Division II and Division III compared to D1, where, you know, they have that money and the resources to, they're going to find a way to get that tournament in because of what it means, you know, to the bottom line. But at D2, D3, they don't have, you know, the, maybe the money to, you know, for the testing and just trying to find a way to make that tournament happen in maybe a bubble location or what have you. So, I mean, I'm hoping things kind of, you know, go in the right direction again. And, you know, we don't have to worry about that, but we're seeing the cancellations at the pro level and just what's happening in the college now, what UWF men's basketball team has canceled or that game was postponed or, you know, makeup day yet. It just worries me about D2 and D3. Are we going to see a repeat of, you know, last year and you know, when 2020 was going on and what happened with that? Or the football season was canceled in D2 and D3. Some teams played in the spring, but then basketball and hockey, you know, those sports didn't have a tournament. So I think it's too early to tell. You know, I think January is going to tell us a lot because, you know, once you get into February, then you start to wonder how these postseasons are going to play out for D2 and D3. But I guess we can just hope for the best and that these officials at those levels find a way to, you know, still get those tournaments in because you hate to see it end without a tournament being played.
Brian, yourself getting into being a journalist in sports and having a chance to write a book, Drew, myself, it doesn't matter really what generation, and we're not too far apart, but, you know, you could even talk to somebody in their 50s or somebody in their teens and that wants to get into sports broadcasting or journalism, and John Madden had an impact, whether it was playing the video games or watching him on TV. Talk about what John Madden meant to you, and you know, did you grow up with the video games, and was that something that really got you into football?
Oh yeah, for sure. With the video games was such a big deal. You know, when they first came out, you know, I remember getting the first one, the first John Madden that came out, and the graphics obviously weren't as good at the time, in the 90s, but you know, it was such a cool game to play because it was John Madden football. And the other thing that I guess to me, you know, I don't remember a lot about his coaching career, but it's the other thing to me about John Madden was, you know, just the broadcast he used to do with Pat Summerall. I mean, you knew it was a big deal when John Madden and Summerall were on the game. And I always loved watching him call games on TV. And so between that and the video game, that was a big part of, you know, getting into sports, especially football. And it's unfortunate that he's passed away, and but he definitely had a great life. What he did as a coach, and you know what he did in broadcasting, and of course he's inspired even kids too young to remember him on the broadcast or coaching, who you know, played his video games, which are, you know, haven't gone on for quite some time.
Brian, you look at a couple of the basketball games, UWF, their game this week, it looks like against Alabama Huntsville has been postponed. That was expected to play on Sunday. They've already dealt with a number of makeups at this point, and we understand that, you know, there's going to be more coming up here. So at this point, if you're UWF and what they've done so far, you know, what is one of the things as a fan that you know, if you want to watch a UWF game, or when can we expect them to play next, or at this point we just have no clue?
You know, obviously that game was a road game that got postponed, but they're supposed to play next Saturday against Valdosta. So if, you know, if they get to play that game as scheduled, hopefully the fans come out and watch the men and the women, because both teams are doing really well right now in conference play and, you know, have a chance to contend for that championship. I think so if that game gets played, hopefully the fans come out. But the other big thing, I think, for as coaches right now, I think for UWF, you know, you just got to find a way to keep your the practices as competitive as possible, because, you know, you're getting up expecting to play a game and then doesn't happen. So now you got to find a way to reshift that focus and try to just keep practices intense and keep them focused and have them ready to go when, you know, they get back on the court.
Yeah, the men's team, if you haven't seen them, they're doing great. Both teams are, but right now Coach Berkhammer's team off to an 11-1 start. They're 5-0 in conference play. They're really playing some good basketball right now. You know, and on the other side, we talked about Coach Stephanie Yelton, who joined us not too long ago, and what they've accomplished. Also having a really good season and talking about a team that, you know, they've been there before, but they had to revamp that entire roster after losing so many All-Stars. And now they're sitting there going into their 12th game at 10-1 and 5-0. So these teams are combined right now sitting there at 21-2. I don't know why that math was so hard. I just, like, completely froze there for a second. But it's like common math, kids. But overall, you know, it's awesome to see them have so much success early on.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, the women's team went to the Elite Eight a few years ago, and, you know, they obviously got that program back on where Coach Yelton likes to have it. You know, being 10-1, 5-0 in the conference. Their streak's at 10 games now, so they're playing really good basketball. And I would imagine Coach Yelton feels pretty good about where her basketball team is and going into January. And hopefully they get all their games in. that's the most important thing at this point, because you don't want to lose momentum. You don't want to have to spend a lot of time at practice, because, you know, as important as practice is, athletes would much rather play. And the same thing with the men, you know, they just got to, you know, hope everything works out, getting most of their games in, and, you know, they keep that momentum going, because it's obviously working for, that momentum is obviously on the side of both teams right now. And, you know, they keep that going in January. You know, we're going to be talking about both the men and the women at UWF competing for conference championships come February and into March.
Well, Brian, I hope you have a great New Year's. Great stuff as always. Look forward to talking to you in 2022 with local high school sports, UWF, Navarre, and more. Don't party too hard. I know, you know, you're trying to be the next Dick Clark, but it's okay. We'll talk to you on that first day right there after the bowl games. Who do you like, by the way? Because we're not going to talk to you until next week. Who do you got? Michigan versus Georgia and Alabama versus Cincinnati. Who do you like in these games?
You know, I'd love to see Cincinnati pull off the upset, you know, but I think Alabama's probably going to win that one. And the Michigan-Georgia game, you know, I see a scenario where Michigan wins it. I mean, I think for Harbaugh, it would be a big deal for him to finally win that really signature game in the postseason and, you know, take his team to the national title game, because I think that's what people expect out of Harbaugh when he got to Michigan. So I think Michigan in the upset, at least that's what I'm going to go with. I'm not putting any money on it, so hopefully no one else will either, based on my advice. But I think, you know, we could see an Alabama-Michigan national championship game.
Michigan's that plan where, you know, it's like that show, The Biggest Loser, where the person's 400 pounds and then the next week they weigh like 150. Like, they're trying to, a lot of times people might, like, over a course of 6-7 years, they're like, hey, I'm going to lose 20 pounds. Yeah, we're getting back to the gym. They're getting themselves back into shape. Michigan, like, this year, like, Jim Harbaugh went from, you know, 0 to 700 real fast. It's like they were like, get him out of town. He can't beat Ohio State. Now it's like everything's going. They beat Ohio State. They dominate Iowa. They're in this game. Georgia looks vulnerable. And if they win it, you know, now all of a sudden they can erase everything. Like, all of that stuff over the last decade can be erased if they win it this year. It really would. It would go out the drain, and Michigan fans would be excited.
No doubt. I mean, you know, winning cures everything.
And, that's right.
Harbaugh. Yep. So when you win, you know, all your problems go away.
Well, or if you don't win, just claim it. That's what we do. You know, so go nuts.
Exactly.
But, yeah. Hey, you know what, Drew? I mean, sorry, Drew. Let's just go ahead and say, Brian, have a great rest of your day, and I'll talk to you here soon.
Hey, no problem. Take care, Chad. Enjoy your New Year's as well.